OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
This summer, in your local theater, a new Stephen King adaptation, In the Ball Pit. Have you ever been...
I'm sorry, I was trying to go for a bit, I was trying to go for a joke. Man, what the fuck?
No, your joke was so good, we started laughing before you could even finish. It's a compliment, really.
It was like you fell into a ball pit on your face, that joke.
Do you know how fucking often those things are sanitized? Not very much. That's terrifying.
Wow. So fucking scary.
You're like covered in four-year-old vomit and God knows what else.
Hold on. I'm going to get tall really quick. Let me hit this grass.
That's how the movie was made.
Hold on. Move over, Alan. I'm going to get in this ball pit.
That was after his drug phase, though.
I sense some people didn't like this movie.
No, it was post-King drug phase, wasn't it?
No, this is a fairly recent thing, which means, anything that Stephen King could have written last week. I mean, he's probably published a book since we started recording this.
Yeah, he shat on a napkin, and now it's being a fucking HBO miniseries.
Well, this is not even the worst Stephen King I've ever seen.
I'm not saying this is the worst Stephen King adaptation.
This isn't even a bad Stephen King. By Stephen King standards, this is right down the middle.
This is up there with Dreamwalker or Dreamcatcher, that movie was.
Well, maybe we should talk a little bit more about what this thing is. So people know this is on Netflix. It is based on the novella, not a full novel, a long short story by Stephen King and his son Joe.
Wait, before we start using Italian words like novella and shit like that, I'm going to just throw this out there into the grass like a dick to be lost. My name is Julian.
Yes, we're introducing ourselves. Yes.
Good. Yeah. Good man. This is Marco, who's throwing out the big Italian words.
Okay, and we're also here with Bradley as well. So introduce
yourself. Hello. Yeah, I'm just wandering around.
Bradley, you have to say an Italian word now.
Bradley, no. Oh, I used to go by Benevenstanciano
when I was
younger.
That's a story, but we're going to save that for another podcast.
Which we'll tell offline.
It really isn't, but hey, everybody.
And that was Alan, who talked about the ball pit. That was Alan talking about balls.
Yes, my name is Alan. You've heard me on many Screener Squad stuff. You heard me on the final days of Gotham and all that jazz. But yes, today we are talking about not Into the Ball Pit, which is going to be a thing at some point. We're Into the Tall Grass, where this is, like Marco said, it's Stephen King adaptation. I believe it was him and his son. It was a collaboration, short book.
Yeah, Joe Hill.
And the basic premise of this is there's this couple, not couple, there's these two people that are driving on the way to San Diego, and they stop and hear this boy that's screaming for help inside of the tall grass. And they're like, well, maybe we should help him, like morons, and go inside this tall grass. And as soon as they go in there, instantly get lost and slowly realize that there's crazy shit kind of going on where it's like, things are disappearing, voices are kind of going wherever they want. They can't seem to navigate their way out, and that's basically how the movie starts.
Yeah.
So I'll throw it to whoever wants to go first. So what your guys' thoughts were?
This is Alan. I see why they call you Ali Empathy Checkazine.
What? I'm sorry. Fuck the kids.
Fuck those children. Whose cries for distress I hear. Nope. We're just gonna keep driving. Don't even stop the car. This is okay. I admit. I'm kind of a sucker for Stephen King's premises. I don't think they always succeed, but he sets up a good premise here. And this is daylight horror for the most part, and it's horror in the most banal things. This beautiful, field. This is basically the prequel to the reboot of Children of the Corn Nobody Asked For.
There's a field, there's kids. That was a really long way to say, I'm biased.
Oh, you mean liking things?
What the?
I'm sorry. I didn't know we were allowed to like things on this show. Only hate reacts
only. No, it's Screener Squad. We can only hate everything we watch.
No.
Children of the Corn was one of his better adaptations, though, to be fair.
But it is that idea of, this sort of primal fear of, being lost in the woods, only now it's transposed to this field of grass, which we find out very quickly is magical, and there is something weird going on. And not only are you people showing up in different places in the field, but also in different parts of time. And nobody can seem to get their way out. The field just keeps moving about. Unless something is dead, we find out. Dead things don't get moved. The problem is that it's a very interesting premise. It probably works better in the novella, but stretched over feature length, it does feel like it goes on a bit too long.
Yeah, definitely. Julian, you seem to be the one that actually probably likes this the most, so what do you think?
Oh, I didn't like it that much.
Motherfucker!
I just think that it's one of those movies that you really gotta sit through it to start enjoying it. Like, I guess anything that just keeps going on and on.
Right.
Because this, I have to agree with you, it probably does work way better as a book, but as far as a movie, it's a big old mess, man. Mm-hmm. Someone had a good idea that just did not work in the form of a movie for me. Like, I think I speak for all of us. I'd be curious if anyone could challenge us. These characters are wet dog shit. They're super fucking.
They're one note.
You can't even hold them in your hand without them dripping through your fingers.
Yeah, they are very two-dimensional.
Bradley, as the resident, I've read the book. Have you read the book on this one?
No, actually, I haven't read the book. I don't read many Stephen King books that aren't labeled as the greatest written horror novel of all time. And you'd be surprised how many are labeled that way, so you read King often. But this does seem to take a lot of its story from other books I've read. You got Scott Smith's The Ruins, which I really enjoyed. The Endless that was just last year, that was a really deep, fun movie with a lot of philosophical H.P. Lovecraftian horror in it. I'd recommend that over this, too. I agree with your guys' character summation, but I didn't hate this. I thought it was, you know, fine.
Yeah, I mean, you have to get in on its wavelength. It's kind of a slow burner, and if you're looking for shocks and jump scares and gore and a lot of action, there's really not any of that. You're really getting the sense of a bunch of people going mad.
There's some, but it takes a long to get there. Because one of my issues when watching this movie, being bored out of my mind, is for the first hour of this movie, it's just a game of Marco Polo. It's literally just Becky, Cal, the whole time. I'm just like, oh my fucking God. If I have to hear this person's name one more goddamn time, I'm going to stop watching this fucking
movie. But on the other hand, I do think that's what people would do. They'd scream and try to yell and sort of locate one another, and it becomes, we the audience, because we're smart, we figure out what's going on before these people do, because A, we know we're watching a Stephen King adaptation, so freaky shit must be happening.
Okay, but it takes
the characters are like, no,
let's
just
though.
Think about it logically. If we just yell, we'll find one another, let's jump up, and we'll see each other, and then they jump up again, and that doesn't happen. They can't repeat the same thing.
As a concept, the freaky shit is cool, but the way the movie is shot is not as clever as the filmmaker thinks. There's like a couple decent shots of grass like closing over blackness, but no one who knew what they were really, really doing worked on this, I felt like. Like, the editing wasn't special. Even the lighting in this, man, like, it's sometimes, like, everything was just very basic, and, like, the direction, I think, is what could have saved this, but didn't.
Because one of my issues when I saw the trailer, I was like, this is the lamest concept I can possibly ever think of. It's like, oh, man, we're surrounded by grass. Oh, no.
So you weren't a fan of The Happening either?
The Happening is a hilariously stupid movie that thinks it's a great horror movie.
Alan doesn't think that xenomorphs are scary. Just
okay, I don't.
There.
I don't think they're scary.
But okay, that's so you got nerves of steel then. There
right,
you
because
go.
You're hardened. You're jaded.
I don't think grass is scary either, but that's, I don't know.
Well,
Stephen
it's not
King
the grass. It's getting lost. Nobody
but
wants to get lost.
It's the notion of getting lost. And I would say
especially
it is,
in plain sight.
It is that primeval thing. If you think about thousands of years
know,
ago
it's
looking
it's
at a grass,
grass
prairie.
Though. Like, it's I don't know. To me, it's like when you're getting lost somewhere else with other stuff, like trees or other stuff, it's like there's other stuff that could be happening in there. Being lost in a tall grass is such a boring concept to me. And the movie, it's like, what it's trying to do is like, oh, let's do all the stuff you're talking about. Let's call each other's names. Let's try to jump. Let's try to do this, try to do that. It's so spread out that things don't really get that weird, except for like maybe like 50 minutes to an hour in. And it's like, this is an hour and 40 minute movie that takes so long before we're starting to get somewhere crazy. Because you see in the trailer, crazy stuff starts happening. Like, you need that stuff to start happening quickly, and it doesn't. And I think that's the biggest problem with this movie, is its pacing. I think if you were to shorten this movie up, and yeah, you said a novella, like, if this was a 30 minute short, that you could have killed it.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, King novellas aren't usually short either. They're also a big task.
As a book, this would work better because, you know, sure, it's not like right in your fucking face and I'm not looking at it.
Yeah.
But with this, like, I think that the concept is far from the problem. I mean, being stuck in a bunch of tall grass, that's like being stuck. Shut up. It's like being stuck in the forest, but the trees are like inches away from your face.
Yeah,
and there's
way
more.
People get lost,
of them.
Man.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, it's horrifying. So, in concept, I think they nailed it. And there's a lot of, like, really cool imagery in this movie. Like, I would never say that this is a total wash and, like, just a total failure. Like, there's, like, I think that they could have used some more money, probably. But
yeah.
There's a couple things, like, for example, when they do show more people coming near this tall grass, and they establish, like, the parking lot of the church right next to it. You know, like, it's hinting at some stuff, like seeing all the abandoned cars. It's like, all right. Like, there is something going on.
It's the church of the Black Rock. I mean,
yeah, which I did like. Yeah. And,
no,
and
this
I
is
got
just
that
on Buckout Road now because it's just this random fucking area of. This random area of the cornfield that apparently has been sucking people in for centuries and no one's noticed it.
The church is there because it's supposed to feel safe. You know?
Yeah,
like,
and it's
oh,
supposed to feel like somewhere where people can find the answers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is in that sort of Lovecraftian sort of something really weird and ancient is here and people around the town probably know something about it, but no one ever talks about it. And the folks who wind up here are never heard from again. And we'll never truly understand what's going on out there. And there's a lot of things in here that I see from other Stephen King books. I know Bradley mentioned some other films or other books that have some of these same elements. But the idea of a maze that you can't get out of, I mean, that's right out of The Hedge Maze and The Shining. Or, you know, the fact that somebody's possessed by this ancient evil. I mean, he's done that lots and lots of times. And here, now we have Patrick Wilson, who's playing the typical Stephen King meatbag, which is, it's just a vessel for this evil thing to go, hey, you know, wouldn't you like to be part of our evil spirit, you know, weird world? Come on. And everyone's like, no, he's crazy. Like, no, you really want to be part of this? If not, I'm going to fucking kill you. And he's having a ball in this. The performances are all very two-dimensional. Nothing against the actors. I think they do the best they can with the material they have. At some point, a third person shows up. Well, there's two families, the brother and sister at the beginning. We left out the fact that she's, you know, pregnant.
I would cut what you just said because that's kind of a spoiler.
It really isn't.
I mean, it's established in
the
very first
movie. It's not established their relationship. It's very vague. That was honestly a surprise and a reveal to me when I
the relationship, not the pregnancy.
That was like revealed in
the
10
pregnancy
minutes.
The pregnancy is implied.
Well, the pregnancy is implied. That
yeah,
I know.
They,
but like,
okay.
At first, they seem like they're a couple.
Sure.
You don't. Like, you don't know.
Look,
that
I'm sorry. I'll say this straight up. Don't cut this. No, it's not worth your fucking time. Like, we're going around along about this, and I do want to hear some more of Bradley's thoughts about this, because I don't think he's had a chance to really say stuff. But, like, the one last thing I do want to say is, like, I think that the actors are probably the biggest problem with this, because I just stopped caring about their plight about halfway through this movie. I'm like, except for the one of the characters that does show eventually, he seemed the most invested in what's going on. But everyone else just seemed like, yeah, they're just playing their bit roles. But, Bradley, what do you think, man?
I think about the same things you guys do, maybe just not as harshly. I caught that they were related right away. You know, they weren't giving any intimacy cues towards each other. And that's not necessarily always the actor's fault if the scene lacks intimacy. I thought Patrick Wilson immediately showed his hand, so I thought it was weird that everyone was so trusting of him. Does he usually play villains? Because he's great at chewing the scenery. He was having the most fun, noticeably, in this movie.
Isn't that a surprise? Like, isn't that supposed to be like kind of a twist?
No,
as soon as he shows up, I'm like, ew.
As soon as he shows up, I'm like,
oh,
hey,
or do you mean
guy.
the incest not incest relationship?
I mean, when he shows up, the character Wilson, is yeah. established as just another person in the grass.
But it's kind of. But he's like, weird, "Oh, hey, what are you doing out here? I'm a realtor."
Yeah, like, as soon as he shows up, it's weird and creepy. I'm like,
"Do you want to touch some rocks?" Like, I thought he was creepy right away.
That's not what he was saying immediately.
No.
That's what his eyes were saying.
And his shirt and clothes were all covered in blood. You didn't think that was odd?
I thought that he was stuck in there and that it was very mysterious, mm-hmm. and I didn't know what was going on.
Oh, like Robin Williams meeting people in Jumanji for the first time. Like, just a little nutty, not necessarily an evil guy. I see what you're saying.
Sure.
Yeah, like, the first 20 minutes of the movie, to me, I was like, all right, well, that was someone's senior project. And then you get to, like, the halfway mark, and then everything you realize has been totally set up. And that's when it really starts to play with it.
Okay.
And it's not really until three quarters of the way through, I think, that the movie starts to do anything good. But you guys are right, though. The characters, I think their writing is just what held them back. I think the actors are fine, but it was just not well-written dialogue.
Well, I'll actually just have that as your final thought, Julian. Unless you want to add a little bit more, we can go into final thoughts.
Sure. I think there's some good shots in here. There's some good effects, but most of it is not well edited enough. It needed another pass, like for writing. Maybe Stephen King could have even taken a stab at it. I don't know. I don't know if that would have helped. But I don't know. I don't hate this, but I really didn't like it. It's kind of like the movie we reviewed yesterday. It's like, it's good in some places, but this is probably a little bit worse. I'll give this 5 levels that you go up on your lawnmower to cut your grass right at the middle level out of 10.
It's beautiful grass, though. I'm confused by your review.
All right, then. Bradley,
that's
where
you want it. Yeah. I didn't hate it. I didn't really love it. If I think about it too much with the ending and towards the third act, I can't make sense of any of it. Not going to lie. Not saying that's a failure on the script. Maybe it's just my own mind not comprehending the mysticism they were using or the weird type of storytelling this type of trope gets into. I really liked the tall grass. I thought that it was creepy. I liked how it's spooky at times. I liked how it seemed like a living character. I liked how maybe none of it was happening and everyone was just going crazy. You don't really find that out immediately. Definitely my favorite character was the tall grass. It's weird that you would just run into it, though, because everybody knows you should never run into tall grass. Your ass could get attacked by a Caterpie, a Rattata, a Pikachu will shock you. You don't go into the tall grass unprepared. Eh? Lord. But I would say around 6 panicked shouts heard by 10 ears that just don't care.
You were confused by my review? Like, you thought the same thing I did, basically.
No, yeah, I see that now. And perhaps I've always thought that way.
So, Marco, final thoughts and rating?
I think clearly I like this a little bit better than some of you guys, just because I'm a sucker for these kind of Stephen King setups. They don't always pay off the way you want them to, but I can see the appeal, how this would appeal to a filmmaker. It's a small handful of characters, probably shot largely on a studio with just a lot of grass. From a producer standpoint, you're like, that's great. We can cast grass really easy. Grass works cheap. But they do manage to make, using judicious use of CG and wind machines, they make the grass feel like a character. And it's definitely, again, tying into some old Stephen King tropes, like Pet Sematary, the idea of, like, bad earth, like poisoned ground. You've got a guy who's running around who's kind of going Jack Torrance-y from The Shining. This is kind of, I wouldn't say this is Stephen King's greatest hits, but it's a lot of his sort of lesser material kind of repackaged in a new form. I do wish they had done this a little bit better. This was directed by Vincenzo Natali, the guy who did Cube, which is also about a bunch of people in a maze. So I can see why he was the obvious choice for this. But it could have been a lot sharper and a lot more frightening. It's just a really good excuse to make daylight horror out of something very banal and unexpected, and then throw in some little mind fucks and some really strange, not totally explained, evil supernatural stuff. It's worth checking out, but yeah, there's better Stephen King, but there's a whole hell of a lot of worse Stephen King, and all you got to do is wait about a week and we'll probably get some more. This right now, I mean, come on, he's already written something, you know. It's like Stephen King's probably going, you know what'd be really scary? Like a guy who like calls an Uber and it keeps dropping him off, but it always takes him to a different time. It's like, that's really cool, Steven. Why don't you go here? Already wrote it. Got to send it to the publisher. Publishing it next week. Already sold the film rights. And hell, we'll watch it and we'll say, yep, there's another Stephen King film that wasn't as all it should be. I will give
call
this.
Call it Deadlift.
Deadlift.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, I'll give you credit for that. You go write that before Stephen King does, but you better hurry. Now that he's got his son, Joe Hill, helping him out, I mean, he's just unstoppable now. I would give this 6.5 out of 10 beautifully art-directed rocks. That's a good-looking rock, man. I don't care. I'm like, that's a well-made rock. They did a good job on the rock.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was creepy. It had a character to it.
Did it though? And I guess I'll lead this into what my final thoughts were. Immediately from the trailer and the premise, I thought this was going to be the most boring, mundane horror movie that I could possibly ever think of. And yeah, I fucking walked right into it and it got everything that I expected of this is just some stupid BS that's trying to take this stupid, mundane premise of tall grass and trying to make it scary. And I don't think it ever works. I don't think that the actors ever sell it. I don't think that the visuals ever portray this as being anything scary. When the movie starts being weird in Technicolor, it just kind of feels random, but it does have enough of a setup prior. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm kind of enjoying this part. But it takes so fucking long to get there that I think this would have been better as a 30, 40 minute short than an hour and 40 minute movie. I think that anything that's interesting, it takes so long to get there and they don't do enough with it for it to be interesting. And it just gets to the point where I'm like, oh, thank God it's fucking over. So I'm just giving this 3 out of 10 random BS sequence that don't ever bother to be explained.
All right.
Just that's bring a fucking machete next time. Just fucking cut it all.
You know what I really think? That. Right now, I hope one day Stephen King gets to hear this review because he'll go, well, they're right. I could have been better.
And then, no, I don't need him writing into the ball.
And then what he'll do is go, you know, I'm going to write a story about a podcaster who thinks grass isn't scary. And then I'm going to drop him in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by grass. And while it's destroying his body and killing him and taking over his mind, he'll go, I'll never say grass isn't scary again. And then, you know, he'll...
Please let this be a dream.
Stephen King doesn't know me very well.
Oh, wait, that was Stephen King in Creepshow when he became the grass, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, he doesn't know me very well. I'm petty. I'm not going to let him win.
Stephen King doesn't like grass, apparently.
I fucking guess so.
He hates grass. Unless it's the kind you smoke. I'm pretty sure Steve likes that kind of grass just fine.